Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome. I'm Tracy McClure. Today's program is especially dedicated to what is playing out in Gaza, Israel, and the West Bank. Over the next half hour, you'll hear Pope Benedict appealing for peace, the voices of Gaza's Catholic parish priest, Israel's ambassador to the Holy See, and the Apostolic Nuncio to Israel, and the Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem. But perhaps the most powerful testimonial comes from Father Manuel Musallam, Gaza's only Catholic priest. On a visit of solidarity to Christians in the Holy Land, Catholic bishops were able to get through to his Holy Family parish by phone early Tuesday. Father Manuel told them many Christians have died because of the bombings and other fire. One of the most recent was a young man whom he helped to bury on the Greek Orthodox Christmas. We apologize for the poor quality of the phone line.
All these families are facing the trauma like other children. Now our children are crying the whole time. They are crying, they are weeping, they are fearing because the bombardments are not common to us. We haven't seen that before. It is the first time we see so long time a heavy bombardment. So this night we couldn't sleep. And I am beside a group of Christians around us. So to help these people, we haven't any way to help them. We cannot give them money. We haven't money in hand. We haven't that. We haven't food. The only thing as a church or a school I can do for the neighborhood, Christians or no Muslims together, is to give them water. I have an artificial well. I have water. So I give to the whole community water. The whole time they are coming to take water. Water to drink and water to wash for their houses. And also, we have a generator, the generator of the school. And this generator costs too much each day because we need 100 liters of fuel to run it for a day. And it is too expensive, but they need this electricity to bake their food. They cannot go to buy bread from bakers outside. They cannot move. They cannot walk. So they do the bread in at home.
More than 900 people are estimated to have died and thousands more injured in the conflict, which began December 27th as Israel's response to Hamas rocket fire on Jewish settlements outside Gaza. Since then, as Father Manuel says, what was already a humanitarian disaster has gotten much worse. Also caught in the crossfire, Father Manuel's two communities of religious sisters in Gaza.
The Sisters of Charity of Mother Teresa. Two of them went out with the Red Cross, and four are sustaining and maintaining the house, their house, and running the house for the handicapped children and the house for old women. They are four sisters. They are living in Zaytun Square, in close to the church. Now they are feeling, they are troubled, they are weeping. I speak to them when I meet them each day. I send them a car to pick them, to pray together, to say the Mass. Because on some day, on the other place, no one can come. But for each day, I send the car to pick them and we say the Mass together. They are fearing. They have many bombardments beside them. Many bombs are explosions around them. Even we received a bomb in our residence, the residence of the priest, which is close to the church. And three or four bombs were just very close to them, at 20 meters far from them. I have other sisters the Little Sisters of Jesus. They have their house in the beach camp. They are living in an agglomeration of a Christian community with 26 families, and they live beside inside a school of the UNRWA. Now, just down the window, three boys went outside from the school to go to the toilet, and they were targeted, these three boys, killed by the Israelis, and the blood of these children came on the windows of the sisters, and the house of the sisters were damaged.
Last Thursday, Pope Benedict repeated an appeal for an immediate end to the conflict. He was speaking to diplomats in his traditional New Year's address.
Une fois de plus, je voudrais redire que l'option militaire n'est pas une solution et que la violence, d'où qu'elle provienne et quelque forme qu'elle prenne, doit être condamnée fermement.
And the Pope called for a resumption of peace negotiations to promote reconciliation in the war-torn region.
Tu as relancé les négociations de paix et en renonçant à la haine, aux provocations et à l'usage des armes.
The UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has headed to the region for talks aimed at ending the bloodshed. The Palestinian group Hamas and Israel have rejected a UN Security Council resolution calling for a ceasefire, but in a television address from Gaza on Monday, Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh said it was ready to negotiate a ceasefire, but only if Israel pulled back all its forces and ended a blockade which has prevented food, medicine, and other life-saving supplies to enter Gaza. Israel's ambassador to the Holy See, Mordecai Levy, was among diplomats gathered in the Vatican to hear Pope Benedict's address last week. Charles Collins asked the ambassador why no lasting ceasefire has yet been achieved.
There's no ceasefire because the belligerent activities are going on. Obviously, no side has agreed to the ceasefire. Although I can tell you that the Hamas itself is hurt enough, but you will never expect a white flag from them. This is a very awkward situation. You need a lot of determination in order to fulfill what you have wanted to gain. And no doubt that Israel is now getting what it obviously lost for several years already, and this is the deterrence. I think if it is wrong to submit, to assume that Hamas is a partner. Hamas is not a partner because they have a manifesto which calls for the annihilation and destruction of Israel, and I think it should also matter to Christian listeners. For them, the whole Israel, the land of Israel, including West Bank and actual the state of Israel, is Muslim Waqf. What does it mean? It is a land allocated to Muslim use only. There's no place for Israel. There's no place for any Christian presence there. And bearing this in mind, I don't know what kind of negotiations we should maintain with them.
Christians in Gaza are the people of Palestine. They are suffering with their brothers Muslims as well as the Muslims themselves. We are the people of Palestine. We are scattered all over Gaza. We are not living in a segregated places or in a corner. As Christians, we are not a religious community. We are the people of Palestine, and the people of Palestine, as people of Palestine, we are a genuine part of this population. Christians in Gaza, our brothers Muslims are taking care of us. Today, yesterday, and each day, I receive calls from our brothers Muslims, and
it is obviously that we are interested in the ceasefire once we know that Hamas is not going to repeat its policy for 8 years long, which means launching rockets on our civilian population.
Charles Collins now picks up his interview with Ambassador Levy, asking about the Vatican's humanitarian concerns, too, for Gaza's civilian population.
There have been humanitarian corridors open. However, there's been continued violence. Sometimes humanitarian aid has been the UN has stopped shipping. What's being done by Israel to ensure that the humanitarian situation in Gaza does not deteriorate?
It concerns us a lot, I can tell you, especially because we know that the Hamas is taking shelter within civilians, and I think they are keeping them hijacked. They are hijacking the civilian populations in order to get sheltered. Their main war situation room is below their main hospital in Gaza. Can you imagine? So in the cellars of the hospital. So it's a situation which is a new kind of a warlike situation in which the belligerent party is totally integrated or not integrated, totally mingled within the civilian population. Now, you should know that when we declare the corridors of humanitarian corridors, which is, are 3-4 hours a day, in which from the Israeli side there's no belligerent activity, this is just a time when the Hamas is sending its rockets. The numbers of rockets has been reduced substantially. If you compare 200 at the beginning of the first days, now it is 20 or a little bit more, which is reduced numbers, which shows the capability or the diminishing capabilities of Hamas. This means that we are on the right direction.
You mentioned that Israel cannot talk with Hamas. However, Israel does talk with the Palestinian Authority. How is this conflict affecting relations with the Palestinian Authority and the Palestinians in the West Bank?
If we read the situation correctly, I think Hamas was an obstacle, obviously, for any serious negotiations, because once you can reach something with a PLO, which means the Palestinian Authority, it's still a question whether Hamas would have prevented it, because it had until the last week's veto power. What we are aiming at is to diminish and maybe to wipe out the veto power they had until now also on the peace process, which means moderate Palestinians, certainly Abu Mazen and the Palestinians in the West Bank are watching carefully and are actually quite grateful that they are getting rid of a menace which is called Hamas.
Touching more on this, the peace process, there was talk by President Bush of trying to get a finalized peace deal by the end of last year. Of course, that did not happen. How close are we to a final deal, a final peace in the Middle East? And what role does the international community have to play in this peace?
I think the international community should help whenever it is possible to reach the peace, and the forums are known, and nothing has to be invented from new. What I speak about now is that there were some obstacles which were not conducive for proceeding on the road of peace, and you will be seeing that a lot of talks and also international communities involved in the way after ceasefire has been will be reached in the Gaza Strip, how to prevent rearmament of Hamas, for instance. This is a very serious matter. You know, we can compare it with what the outcome of the Lebanon crisis in 2006 with the present crisis in Gaza 2008-09, which means you can learn from mistakes which were done, especially on the question of smuggling in again armaments or not. Now, we have a certain degree of trust with the Palestinian partners the PLO and the Palestinian Authority that they will not abuse the good faith which we give to them. With Hamas, we can expect everything.
The Holy Father also mentioned in his speech the peace process between Israel and Syria and Israel and Lebanon. How is the peace process between these two countries?
This was a very bold initiative, I have to tell you, where the Turks were also very instrumental. And I think it will be going on. Our aim is, and this has to be seen in the broader context, both the approach, our approach towards Syria, and also the approach towards the Palestinian Authority against Hezbollah and Hamas, to singling out the dangers which we recognize which are coming from Iran. No doubt it is a war-like situation in which there are proxies, and we see Hamas as a proxy of Iran, as much as Hezbollah is or was. So Lebanon, the approach to Syria is also with the aim not only to settle our problems, and we have certainly problems with them on the future of the Golan Heights, but also to make them understand that it is much more worthwhile to have other allies than they used to have up till now.
Is the peace process with Lebanon and Syria continue on the peace made with, of course, the historic peace made with Egypt, with Jordan? Is this tied to the Palestinian question? How intertwined are these issues?
No, I think the Palestinian question is very much abused and manipulated by many in the Arab camp and also outside. I think it exists. There is a problem between us and the Palestinians, but it is not the core of all the problems which the Middle East have. You know yourself that there are many, many conflicts fought out there which have nothing to do with us, such as the Iranian-Iraqi conflict or the Shiite against the Sunnis has nothing to do with Israeli-Palestinian conflict. So I hope that by and large we are turning now a page which will be to the better.
Now, in Israel, of course, you have elections coming up. How important are these elections for Israel's future?
Well, election is always a dramatic event because you have to choose for this or for other. I cannot say that it is more dramatic than others, but it is true, and I think the Holy Father implied that it is, because he mentioned some attributions of personal merits which someone, a politician, to be elected should have in view of the problems and in view of the desire to reach peace. He mentioned certainly other elections as well. You know, there are elections here in Israel. There will be in the Palestinian Authority about the presidentship. There will be in Iran also. The president will be elected. So it is the first half year will be dealing with much. I'm not saying that there is not a democratic flavor in the political culture in Iran. Certainly it there is. But, of course, democracy in the Middle East is problematic as such because it is, for many, many nations, it is a new instrument.
Changing tack entirely. We'll talk a little bit about the situation in Israel and the West Bank, dealing with the Christian holy sites. Of course,
yes.
Christmas being a major religious holiday, dealing with these areas, Easter coming up. Often when there is violence in the Middle East, sometimes tourists can be frightened away from visiting the holy sites. Is it safe for tourists in Israel right now?
Well, it is certainly safe. The holy sites are not now in the mid of any ongoing conflict, neither Nazareth nor Bethlehem or Jerusalem. Bethlehem is, of course, Palestinian Authority. And I always say that religious motivation was always stronger than any present-day conflict. This shows the inflows of pilgrims from everywhere, not only from the United States, but believe me or not, the constant, most faithful pilgrims flow, which Israel has experienced, is coming just from Asia, from Indonesia, from South Korea, from India. The people are not very much impressed by the kind of conflict they might face in Israel. But I'm saying again that this is not affecting Jerusalem or Nazareth. Gaza is very far from there.
Archbishop Antonio Franco, Apostolic Nuncio for Israel and Delegate for Palestine, told Philippa Hitchin that people can face danger just about anywhere, not just in the Holy Land.
But I can tell you that there has never been a casualty or an accident, serious difficulties for pilgrims. And thanks God, the pilgrims have resumed to come after the real break of the time of the Intifada. Then there was really a full paralysis of the pilgrims. Now they had resumed coming, and it's really so encouraging to see the presence of the pilgrims, and we hope that the flow of the pilgrim will not stop, because this is an expression also of this communion and the solidarity also with the people, not just to come and see and visit places.
In situations like this Israeli bombardment of Gaza, the government has often accused the church of being more on the side of the Palestinians, not condemning with the same vehemence the attacks by Hamas into southern Israel. What's your answer to that?
Well, honestly speaking, I think that it is clear that the church condemns the violence in every expression, and there is never justification to the violence. And there are also different expressions of violence that can, motivate or give occasion to certain pronouncement in a sense or in another. But I think that in the depth, the position of the Holy See is understood, and that, of course, we cannot abstain from calling for an effort to find the way of stopping the violence and trying to find the solutions to the negotiation activity and to different means that violence, because we are strongly convinced and that violence does not generate peace.
The church here has been described by the previous Pope as a bridge between the Muslims and the Jewish state, the Palestinians and the Israelis, and yet you're a very small and increasingly small minority. Can the church do anything else, do you think, to try and ease the tensions?
Well, I don't know if something more can be done. The flow, the immigration, it's motivated by the uncertainty of the situation, the general situation of the people in this region. And I think we understand that the people look for future, and when they don't see future, they try to go somewhere else. It's a pity, it's something that really it's impoverishing the presence of the Christians, but which is the remedy? The remedy is first of all security and possibility of working, of living, and so the efforts to find solutions for the big problems of this area will help also the Christian presence here.
We are a minority, but in the same time we are linked with Europe, with the Vatican, with the Universal Church.
The Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, Fuad Tual, is responsible for the Catholic Church in the Holy Land. Sometimes he and other church leaders there feel helpless to stop the violence. While an important voice for peace and reconciliation, it seems there simply are not enough Christians anymore to make a difference.
I am anxious a little bit to be a delusion for them, because at the same time we see what is happening in Gaza, and at the same time we are unable to stop the violence, to stop the war, to stop the attacks. Even when they wait a statement for us, what we can help with our statements. It can be critical against the one or the other, but the fact is the war is going on with our statement and without our statements. We know that the last solution is in the hand of the politicians. That's why we have to convert their hearts, their mentality, their speech. They must have more trust. They must have more. We are religious. Sometimes we suffer more because we see that we are unable to change the situation. When our people, Muslims and Christians, they want us to speak more, to attack more, to criticize more, I don't think that is the best solution for me and for them.
We've heard Pope Benedict himself calling for an immediate ceasefire, urging wise leaders to seek for real dialogue and negotiations here. Can even his words have any impact at all?
The note before him, the heads of church, we delivered a communique. We said the same thing. We condemned the violence. We call for more dialogue, more justice. We call the international community to interfere. In one way, we call the Europe to have more political role, not only to help us with finance, but to have political role. They have until now, and that didn't change. Even the speech of the Pope. Okay, it maybe it moves. We hope, we wish, and we pray that this speech of the Pope can be a program of work, of decisions for the political leaders. But often the voice of the Church has not an echo in the hearts of these politicians. Not often. We go on speaking, calling, praying, stressing people to change, and we have to leave something for God for the future.
As you know, the Israeli justification for the attacks in Gaza is that the security of the Israeli state is essential, that unless Hamas pledges to stop the attacks, to stop denying the existence of Israel, what is your answer to that?
My answer is we have to go to the reasons, to the causes, why Hamas launched a rocket against Israel. We mustn't never forget that there is a siege on Gaza. We have 1.5 million of people in a prison, and they have 2 hours electricity in the day. They cannot go outside. Nobody can go inside. With this context, my question to Israel and to the Palestinians, and to myself even at the same time, with this context, it is a context of peace, or it is in context for more violence? That's the question.
And that brings our program to a close today. Thank you for listening. I'm Tracy McClure. Laudator Jesus Christus.